Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue the study that we've been doing on the gifts of healing. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing upon our study today. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and our teacher today, Lord. And I pray this study would be a blessing to the saint of God who is listening today, be an encouragement and build them up in the things of the Lord, and strengthen them for the spiritual battle that they fight each and every day. And Father, let us not forget the lost soul that may be listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray this would be the day that they'd cry from a heart of faith, believing that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, that they're trusting in his shed blood, the Lord Jesus Christ shed blood, and nothing else to pay for all their sins, to save them from a sinner's hell, and secure them a home in heaven. And Father, we'll rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth this day. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last time as we were in our study on the gifts of healing, we started to look at a section entitled Healing and the Atonement. And we asked the question, why would God allow one of his children to be sick or to suffer ill health? And then we started to look at some things. We saw, first of all, that some believers suffer in order to bring others to Christ. And then second, we saw that some believers suffer as chastisement for sin. And we want to pick up and see, number three, some believers suffer for the glory of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And I want us to look together at verse number 18. We read the following. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So our verse shows us that suffering, some believers suffer for the glory of Jesus Christ. Look with me also in 2 Timothy, if you would, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 12, we read the following. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the Apostle Paul clearly tells us, if a child of God lives for God, lives godly in Christ Jesus, then he can expect, he shall suffer persecution. He can expect persecution. Amen. Then the Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, in chapter 2, verse 21, we read the following. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. So we see then that as we're to follow Christ is our example in every aspect of our lives. Just as he suffered, we're to suffer too. And we will suffer if we follow in his steps, as we live as he lived. Amen. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Peter reminds us, and he says this, Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happen unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So the Apostle Peter reminds us, suffering, trials, is part of the Christian life. So don't think it's strange or out of the ordinary when it happens. And then he says, when it does happen, when you face the fiery trial, rejoice, he says, because you have been found to be worthy to suffer for Christ. And that his glory shall be revealed, amen, in you. So the verses that we've been looking at show us that some believers suffer for the glory of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing under this section I want us to see is some believers suffer to learn lessons that could be learned no other way. In Psalm 119, verse 71, the psalmist wrote this, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." So the psalmist recognized that it was good to be afflicted. Through the affliction, he could learn the Word of God. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 3, we read the following, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." So here in Romans, we see that through tribulation, we learn to be patient. That's how patience comes out. Patience is a byproduct as a result of going through tribulations, and we're to glory. And the reason that we can glory in tribulations, because we know, as a result of the tribulation that you and I are going through, we're going to learn to be patient. Maybe you've seen that in your own Christian life. Things that you've gone through before, now when you go through them, you're more patient. You don't get all worked up in the flesh, amen? And then we see in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4, we read the following. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So we see, again, when you and I go through tribulation, first of all, we're told that we serve a God who is the God, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And when we go through tribulation and suffering, he comforts us. In no matter what situation we find him, he will provide the comfort. Number one. Number two, as a result of us being comforted God in our tribulation, then we learn how to comfort other Christians, other folks who are going through something that we've been through. And we've learned through God the Father comforting us how to comfort others in their tribulation. Let's review just quickly, as we ask that question, why would God allow one of his children to be sick or to suffer ill health? Four things we saw. Some believers suffer in order to bring others to Christ. Number two, some believers suffer as chastisement for sin. Number three, some believers suffer for the glory of Jesus Christ. In number four, some believers suffer to learn lessons that could be learned no other way. Now, again, the study that we're doing right now is entitled The Gifts of Healing. The next section we want to look at, we ask the question, did Jesus die to heal us from our sickness as well as to save our souls? You see, some factions within the charismatic movement make the claim that Jesus died on the cross not only to save us from our sins, but to save us from our physical infirmities in this life. And this doctrine is arrived at primarily from the following passage. Turn to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53 with me, and we'll look at verses 4 and 5 together. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So we see that's where this charismatic movement derives their doctrine of Christ died not only to save our souls, but to heal us from our sicknesses. Now, Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 5 is primarily a reference to spiritual healing. Again, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to look at some verses there. First verses 4 to 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. See? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, it says we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Spiritually. What was laid? Why was Christ wounded? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. See? For our sins, in other words. So we're healed by his stripes, by what he experienced on the cross, his death, his burial and resurrection. We were healed, our sins were taken away. Isaiah 53 again, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Again, Christ went through what he went through for us because of our transgressions, because of our sins, because of our iniquity. It has nothing to do with physical healing. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53, again, verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. His soul, the Lord's soul, was offered for our sin, as an offering for our sin, so our sins could be forgiven, so the price could be paid for our sins. Nothing to do, amen, with physical healing, but spiritual healing, see? Now, let's see what the Apostle Peter had to say. Peter clearly quotes this verse as proof that we are spiritually healed from our sins at the very moment that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Listen what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were, talking about before salvation, as sheep going astray, but are now, referring to now that you are saved, return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, did have a partial fulfillment in the healing ministry of Jesus. And let's look at some verses of scripture that show us that. Matthew chapter 8, in verses 16 and 17, we read this. When the even was come, they brought him unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, and applies it to the earthly healing ministry of Christ. This healing ministry of Jesus was unique in that it was a sign to Israel that he was the Messiah, not an example that we should follow. Amen. Let's look in John chapter 5. Let's go to the Gospel of John, and I want us to look at some verses there. John chapter 5, verse 36, we read the following. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So, Jesus is saying here that that healing ministry was to show Israel that he was the Messiah. Look at in the Gospel of John chapter 10 with me, verses 37 and 38. If I do the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Again, Jesus is saying that his works, this healing ministry, was to show the nation of Israel that he was the Messiah that they were looking for, that he was the Son of God, that indeed he was in the Father and the Father was in him. Then notice in the Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, we read the following. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Again, the signs. And one of them was his healing ministry. It was to show that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he indeed was the Son of God. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, does have a prophetic future physical fulfillment. At salvation, our soul is miraculously healed of sin, and our spirit, which was dead in trespasses and sin, is quickened or made alive. But nothing happens to our body. New believers still have glasses, false teeth, aches and pains, and will one day grow old and die because of the physical aspects of sin. There is a physical part of salvation, but it is future. But it is a future hope that we expect by faith to gain one day. The perfect Christ-like body is not a present possession. Look in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. We read the following. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The future salvation of our bodies will take place at the rapture. The dead in Christ will be raised with glorified, incorruptible bodies. Those of us still alive will be instantly changed with new, immortal bodies. Notice with me what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verses 51 to 53. He wrote the following. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3, in verses 20 to the beginning of verse 21, he wrote this, For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So we see a perfect body free of pain, death, and all of the effects of sin is not God's plan for this life. It is a future hope that we anticipate by faith. Although the Christian can live a victorious life through the power of the indwelling Spirit, depression, pain, sickness will be the lot of our present vile bodies until Jesus returns from heaven and redeems these bodies. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning this in Romans 8, verses 18 through 23. Paul said, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that our whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You see, all of creation has been affected by sin, and thus the whole creation presently groans and travails in pain. The believer is no more free from pain and death in this life than the physical animal and plant life. However, someday Jesus will return to set up his earthly kingdom, and all of creation will be set free from the curse of sin. We read in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 7, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." Isaiah 35, verse 1, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom and blossom as the rose." And then in Revelation 22, verse 3, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Just a quick summary of this study on the gifts of healing. There is no question about the fact that there is plenty of sickness and sorrow in our world today. These are the effects of sin, and the only solution is ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus offers instantaneous healing of the soul and spirit, and the promise that he will one day deliver us from the very presence of sin and all of its effect. Someday our planet and the universe around us will be entirely purged from the effects of sin. Until that day, it is our job to live according to God's word, regardless of what God may or may not allow to come in our lives. The miraculous gifts of healing had a very specific purpose at a very specific time during the earthly ministry of Christ and the apostles. Although God can miraculously heal from heaven in response to prayer at any time he pleases, the weight of Bible evidence points to the fact that the miraculous sign gifts of healing used in human healers has ended. Sadly, the very people promoting this false hope that such healings are available today cannot heal their followers, each others, or even themselves in the way that even remotely resembles the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit in the pages of the Word of God. God's mighty power is just as available to heal today as it ever was. However, it will not be found by dropping $10 in the healing meeting collection plate. The power of God is found in the pages of His Word in a response to sincere, heartfelt prayer. Thus, this concludes our study on the gifts of healing. If you would like this study or any of the studies that you've heard on the pastor's study, they're all available either on cassette tape or CD. If you'll just drop me a line at the address that'll be given to you at the end of the broadcast. Again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.